Blog Talk Radio.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too.
And welcome to Atlanta Life Radio Presents, There is Life After Layoff. Join the conversation with our show host, Allie, and her co-host as she shares her journey of self-discovery and empowerment after being laid off. The opinions expressed on this radio program are for discussion or inspirational purposes only. They do not serve as treatment or as a professional diagnosis. All listeners are advised that neither the host or web talk radio agents shall be held liable for the content of programs, including advice given. All listeners are advised to make their own decisions based upon receiving appropriate consultation with a licensed professional and who have been given the opportunity to consider completely each listener's circumstances and not in reliance upon the content of this web talk radio program. And now, as we say each and every week, grab your pen, your journal, or a piece of paper, because you definitely want to take notes on tonight's journey. Now, as we say each and every week, join me in a virtual applause as I welcome our show host to the air, Allie.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the next episode of There is Life After Layoff Radio. I'm Allie, your host, and along with my regular co-host, Minister Dr. Regina Ward Porter, the founder of Elise Psychological Services and who is a licensed professional counselor specializing in anxiety, adjustment, and depressive disorders, it is always, always our pleasure to be your guides as I take this journey of self-discovery and empowerment after being laid off. And as Doc affirms normalcy of feelings while offering you practical solutions, please join in on the conversation with us every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. through the Atlanta Life Radio website at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And you can also follow me on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And you can also find out more about Doc and her services by visiting her website at www.elise, which is spelled E-L-I-S-E, psychologicalservices.com. And, of course, you can always contact us via email at thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com. And please continue to follow us on Twitter. You can find me tweeting at AllieWard45, and you can also follow Atlanta Life Radio on Twitter at ALR Radio. And I'm also on Instagram at #AllieWard45. So on behalf of Doc, Mel D, and myself and the entire There is Life After Layoff Radio team, we thank you for listening and for joining us each week as we share with you our insights into issues related to the experience of being laid off. Now, first things first, though, I want to say a happy Father's Day to all of the dads out there. We love you. We appreciate you, and we want to recognize you. So happy Father's Day to all of the dads who may be listening. Now, tonight, I'm happy to have as my co-host, Reverend Lutina Morrell, who we're going to affectionately call Rev T from this point on. She's going to be filling in throughout the summer while Doc takes some time off. Now, she holds a master's degree in counseling and is a certified biblical counselor. And I know that she will add a lot to our discussion topic for tonight, which is how to ruin a good employee. And we'll talk about that, what that means in a moment. In addition to Rev T, we will also be joined by the editor-in-chief of our soon-to-be-launched e-magazine, Up to Me, Ms. Jennifer Giles. Now, we invited Ms. Jennifer to join us so that she can share with you her own personal experience as it relates to our topic tonight. And so without further ado, I want to say welcome, ladies, and thank you each for joining me tonight.
Thank you, Allie. I'm happy to be here and very excited.
Thank you, Allie. I'm pleased to join you tonight, and I'm looking forward to sharing my story.
Thank you, ladies. Thanks again for joining me. And I am looking forward to sharing also some of my personal experiences related to our topic. But first, as always, I want to make a couple of brief announcements before we get started. I want to remind our listeners that we are using this forum as a way to uplift, empower, and hopefully inspire those of you who have been affected by a layoff or some other life-altering event. We are here not to complain We're not here to ridicule. We're not here to point fingers at our former employees or colleagues. But we are definitely not here to feel sorry for ourselves. But mostly we are here so that we can share with you our journeys of rediscovery and empowerment. And we feel that it is important to share our stories because it lets you know that you're not alone. But most of all, you know what? The There Is Life After Layoff radio team, we're here to serve you, the community, as we give you a voice by offering you an opportunity to share your story. So with that said, I want to invite our listeners to call in and share with us. Tonight's topic is powerful. It is very important. So if you have a story that you want to share, we invite you to call us. And you can reach us by calling 347-324-5246. And make sure that you press the number 1 to be added into the on-air lineup in our host queue. And we do look forward to talking with you. And one last quick announcement. If you've missed a particular show, you can always catch up on what you've missed through the Atlanta Life Radio website, again, at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And it's so easy to do that because we have that automatic player box on the programming page. All you have to do is click on the show you want to listen to, and there you go. It'll start playing for you automatically. And we're also on iTunes, which is very convenient for you. Those people who are on the go, you can upload it to your mobile device, and there you go. And we, all you have to do is search for Atlanta Life Radio on the podcast, and that's where you'll find us. So tonight's show will actually be available for upload about 30 minutes or less after it airs tonight. So we invite you to continue to catch up and tune in on a weekly basis. Now, we're ready to get started. And our topic for tonight is as provocative as it is disturbing. It's disturbing because individuals who are otherwise good employees are systematically being broken by the companies that they work for. Now, what am I talking about? I'm talking about corporate or workplace bullying. Yes, yet bullying does not only occur in the schoolyard or even is only perpetrated by children. And after you hear our show tonight, you'll understand what we're talking about. Now, tonight is part one of this series on this topic, and in tonight's show, we're actually going to focus on identifying the problem and hearing actual stories firsthand and talking about just how prevalent it is. And then next week, we ask that you please plan to join us and tune in next week for part two of this series when we will focus on how you can start to heal from this type of experience. So with that said, when we decided to produce an episode on this topic, I'd have to say that I was blown away by just how serious and prevalent this problem is in the workforce. I was aware that it occurred at some level and at some point, but just not to the magnitude that I discovered during my research for this show. And I found it really to be disturbing. And another major reason why we wanted to have a conversation about this topic is because one of our very own team members was a targeted victim. And you will hear her story in a minute, but first, as always, I want to define what we're talking about so that we're all on the same page. So I want to kind of go over the definition of what corporate or workplace bullying is so that we all understand what we're addressing this evening. Now, workplace bullying is repeated health-harming mistreatment of one or more persons who are the targets by one or more perpetrators. It is abusive conduct that is threatening, humiliating, or intimidating, or it is results in work interference, which can be considered sabotage, if you will, which prevents work from getting done, or it can be looked at as verbal abuse. Now, with regards to the prevalence and awareness, according to a 2014 study conducted by the Workplace Bullying Institute, 27% of Americans have suffered abusive conduct at work, and another 21% have witnessed it. But a whopping 72% are aware that workplace bullying happens, which is wow. So at this point, because I know that there's a lot that she wants to share, I want to at this time bring back on air or introduce back into the conversation Ms. Jennifer Giles. And we are so happy that you joined us to share your story this evening, Jennifer. I have to say that when you first shared it with us, the team, my first response was one of disbelief And I think you remember I was actually sitting there with my mouth open because I couldn't believe the things that you were sharing with us. And I think once our listeners hear, they will probably agree with that. It's one of disbelief, and I think you even share with me in a conversation that a lot of people, when you share that story, they don't believe that because it's so ludicrous what happened and just so, wow, you know, they just actually say, no, you're not telling, you can't be telling the truth because it's just so unbelievable. So before you actually start sharing your story, I want our listeners to first know who you are as a professional. So can you share a little bit about your experience and who you are?
Sure. I am an award-winning public relations and communications professional, and I'm pleased to say that I have more than 20 years' experience across corporate, higher education, and national nonprofit organizations. I have public relations experience across all three of those sectors. I am a published journalist and writer of some 22 years, and in addition to that, I have been on faculty at a major research university for 15 years where I teach courses in management, public relations, and mass communication theory, and I serve on several university committees. Finally, I have done TV. I've been a media spokesperson for Fortune 500 companies and continue to be a speechwriter to the C-suite as well as A-list celebrities.
Wow. Okay, so you have a number of years of relevant, you know, great experience, professional experience. Now, as we all know, I mentioned, you know, tonight we're talking about how to ruin a good employee. Now, can you share your story with our listeners as it relates to our show? Just kind of walk us through, you know, what you experienced, if you can.
Sure. Like you, I didn't know a lot about this for some time. When I was a writer for a magazine, I had a column where I actually wrote about career topics, and interestingly, my articles would advise people on how to handle difficult bosses. I also wrote articles advising bosses on how to be better people managers. However, at the time that I was writing for that publication, corporate bullying wasn't really a term that we used, but it is now. So on to my story. I have been in a position as a manager and executive editor at an organization for 5 years when a new department head was hired. On the first day that I met her, or the first day that we met, we had lunch. And during the lunch, she started to ask questions that set off some alarm bells. And those questions really had to do with her questioning my managerial and organizational skills. And mind you, this was the very first conversation I had ever had with her. So that internal alarm that we all have in our bodies kind of went off. So physically, I started kind of reacting, and I thought, this person is showing me that she doesn't know me, doesn't have a thorough background on me, but she's showing me that she's biased. And I thought, okay, well, I'll just, you know, I'll show her that I am a seasoned professional in every way.
Right.
But it escalated. I want to, for our listeners, I'd like to present this in sort of like five different categories, because when I was reading more about corporate bullying or workplace bullying, I was interested to find that there are five kind of categories that they fall in, and I will be expedient in moving through these.
Okay.
One of them is called threat to professional status, and within that, belittling opinions of people who report to you. So one of the systems patterns that I noticed or experienced is that she expressed that to me several times that I was the reason why our department had a negative perception.
Mm,
so
really?
She had only known me for 2 weeks. Oh, wow. She repeatedly told me that I create circumstances for things to go wrong in the department.
Ooh.
She attacked my professionalism and competency, although for 5 years, my evaluations by two previous supervisors had been outstanding.
Wow.
When I told her that I was a veteran with a high level of conscientiousness to approaching my work, managing my projects, managing my function, that I adhere to deadlines and responsibilities, all the things that you would tell someone who's expressing these opinions.
Mm-hmm.
I also told her that there were processes and circumstances that she didn't have background on because she had just joined the organization.
Right.
And she laughed mockingly at me when I would tell her this.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the laughing was not one of joy. It was more of a she was laughing at me out of anger because how dare I challenge her authority?
Right.
So doing some of these accusations, I offered to provide emails that would support my statements, and she would throw up her hand, physically throw up her hand as if to say, I don't want to hear what you have to say. There was a pattern of belittling opinions, professional humiliation, accusations regarding lack of effort were frequent, and this was also, by the way, part of what I read under a threat to professional status. Even when I requested her to substantiate some of the allegations that she was making about my work ethic, not only did she refuse to do so, but she also added more of her opinion. And I might say that these are not isolated incidents that I'm sharing. It was a pattern that was developed on that very first day and kind of escalated onward. Once when I was in a meeting, or we were in a meeting with other people, some of those people were outside vendors, she held up the latest issue of a magazine for which I have served as executive editor for 5 years, and she held it up in her hand and said, started picking it apart. These are photographs I would never use. This is an article that I would have never published. So what does that do? That kind of criticism in an open forum diminishes my role, diminishes
right.
the perception of my capabilities and abilities to people with whom I have to interact, and those people also have to take direction from me.
Right.
So then if we would look at the second category, which is called threat to personal standing, and underneath that I was interested to find this pattern, destructive innuendo, insults, intimidation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think our listeners will find this interesting. Once there had been a storm the night before, and the entire area where our organization is housed was out of power. There had been an electrical storm, and there was no power. And about 1 o'clock or so in the day, we were all still there, not much to do, but about 1 o'clock, I got a call on my cell phone, and it was her, and she said that she needed several photographs and some other deliverables for the magazine on her desk by 2 o'clock that day.
With the power
mind
out.
You, there's no power. And
wow.
She said to me, I absolutely have to have it. Not only that, prior to that day, she had never asked for photographs. She had never expressed that she needed any of the documents or deliverables that she had asked me for until that day. So
mm-hmm.
I said, well, if the power is off, how can I make this deadline? She said to me, I don't know, but it better be on my desk at 2 o'clock. I'm expecting it, and I'm expecting you to get it here by whatever
Oof.
Means you have to do that.
Wow.
When we talk about threats and intimidation, another time she said to me, if the magazine doesn't get a press tomorrow, and this is exactly what she said, you are not going to like what's going to happen to you, Jennifer, I promise you.
Oh, my
so
gosh.
This, you know, kind of, and I had managed, again, managed the publication for 5 years prior to her joining the organization. Another time she gave me 2 days to produce a 60-page script for a major event. And when she called me into her office 1 day later for status, and I was trying to explain to her that it was going to take longer than 2 days, she started speaking to me in a very combative manner. And then she got up and walked over to the table where I was sitting and stood behind me as if to look over my shoulder and read what I had written so far. But she got so close, I could feel the heat from her body.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
She continued to speak to me in this aggressive, combative tone. There are other incidents in which she hired a friend of hers to actually come in and take over the publication. In order to do that, what she actually did was to remove a number of major responsibilities that I had held for a number of years and had, had done them well even prior to coming to this particular organization. For example, prior to joining that organization, I had been a corporate and institutional magazine editor for more than 15 years at the time that I joined that organization. So her pattern of you know, continually questioning and undermining my professionalism and my competency was also something that happened regularly. She brought in another person to take over my responsibility. It was a person that was actually a vendor, not a person who actually worked for this organization. And I noticed something very interesting. The first time I had interaction with this particular person who was going to be doing my responsibilities going forward, she spoke to me in a very condescending, disrespectful manner, language, tone. And when I said something to my boss about how this person had been talking to me, even though I was actually her client, she said to me, "I have shared my perceptions of you."
Oh, my God.
"And of the way you work with her, and that's why she talks to you."
Oh, my God.
There's also something called isolation. There's another strategy that corporate bullies use, and that means preventing access to opportunities or keeping the target out of the loop. And what she did also when she took her role at the organization is she no longer allowed me to go to meetings that I had been going to for a period of nearly 5 years. And what happens when you don't allow someone to go to meetings? Number one, they're out of the loop. And number two, it lowers their visibility.
Right.
She took me off of committees I have served on for years with no explanation.
Wow.
And she decided to take my place in these committees. And as a matter of fact, it got to the point where she couldn't go to all the meetings, but she would not re-engage me in those committees. People that I had interacted with, she made sure through decisions like taking away certain projects, responsibilities, that I no longer had access to those people. And these were people that were higher up the hierarchy, those people who were decision makers about, you know, the role that you play in an organization. So she kind of isolated me from that. And winding up so we can move into some other areas about this, number four and five, in terms of the strategies that are used by corporate bullies, number one is overwork, and under that is when a corporate bully or a workplace bully puts undue pressure on an employee or gives them tasks that are impossible to complete in a specific time frame. So number one, I've already given you an example of that, the 2 o'clock deadline when there was no power in the entire area. Two days allocated for a 60-page script. And then something called, number five, something called destabilization. removal of responsibility, and that's when she diminished my role. Not only did she remove me from being executive editor, but other major responsibilities that I had held as a manager, she completely rewrote my job description and told me that it had been, you know, kissed and blessed by the president, which gave me no room for negotiation. She marginalized my role to the point where I was doing the kind of work that the kind of tasks that I had done when I first became a public relations professional right out of college. So, and finally, targeting, you know, setting up a target to fail is another tactic under destabilization. And she gave me a newsletter to do, the charge with doing, creating this little newsletter. And but what she did is she said that I couldn't have a designer, I couldn't have other writers. And being a graphic designer is a skill. That it's something
right.
that you have to go to school to learn to do. And when she told me I had to do that and that I could not have any of the resources that she was afforded and that other people were afforded, that created a tremendous amount of pressure. And so what I did is I was blessed that someone that I worked with in the organization was a guru in that area. I worked with him, and he worked with me after hours to help me put that together. But the pressure was absolutely tremendous, coupled with many other things that were going on. And I'm just basically giving our listeners a high-level overview in broad strokes of what happened to me there. And I could, you know, probably go on for hours about some of the other incidents that took place. And it was was quite an experience.
Yes, I to say the least. Now, Rep. T., did you want to address a question to Jennifer?
Yes, I would like to address a question. Jennifer, thank you for sharing so far. It's very powerful. Let me ask you this. Do you feel it sounds like being this victim of corporate bullying, why do you think you were targeted by this individual in particular?
I asked that question, you know, to myself, people that I spoke with about this, my family who were, you know, extremely supportive and a few friends. I think that I threatened her on some level. I was threatening to her
on some level.
I had broad experience, as I said, across three major sectors. And looking at her, what I knew about her, she didn't have the same level of experience. And that's okay. People supervise people who have more experience than they do, more education than they do. I mean, it happens. But it's when that person who is supervising feels threatened by the other person's experience, skill base, skill level, that it can sometimes become problematic.
Right.
Interestingly, there was a man who also reported to her, and he suffered some of these actions as well. However, I was by far much more targeted than he was, and that's not unusual, too, because from what I have read about this, and I've read extensively about it, many times it is female to female in terms of the bully and the victim.
Right, right. And you know what? I in my research, I found that oftentimes they'll try to say human resources, if you will, And I'm referring to a story that was that I read about one of the founders of the Workplace Bullying Institute. Human Resources deemed her story as being, you know, her experience as being harassment, and because it was by another female towards another female of the same race, that there was really nothing that they could do about it, that it was legal and considered not worthy of consideration, which is a travesty. But, you know, I think Human Resources oftentimes is, you know, it's still management, so you got to take that with a grain of salt if they're working for you or against you. But at this point, and I piggyback off of what Rev T says, thank you so much for sharing, but we're going to take a short, quick break right here, Jennifer, and then we're going to come back because right after the break, I kind of want to get into talking about some of the health issues or symptoms that may have been related to this kind of pressure that was put on you. So right now we are going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and continue our discussion. And if you want to be a part of this powerful conversation or join the conversation and share your story, you can call us at 347-324-5246 and make sure that you press the number 1 to be added into the on-air host queue. You are listening to a very special episode of There Is Life After Layoff Radio, so please stay tuned.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too.
If you are just tuning in, you are listening to Atlanta Life Radio presents There Is Life After Layoff. We want to take a moment to thank all of our sponsors who have sponsored various show segments. If you are interested in learning more on how you can sponsor a show segment, please contact us at 678-856-7603. Please leave us your name and a return telephone number, and we will get back with you within 24 hours. If you missed our Atlanta conference, Seek Me, Awakening the Purpose Within You, you have another chance. Join us on Saturday, October 25th, 2014, at the fabulous Valley Forge Casino Resort in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. Tickets are on sale now. That's right, we're going to Philadelphia. For more details, visit our website at www.atlantaliferadio.com/Philadelphia. And we have more goodies. We want to thank all of our faithful listeners by presenting you with a gift. We would like to offer you a 1-year complimentary subscription to our new magazine called Up to Me. The premier issue will be available in late August. Please again visit our website at www.atlantaliferadio.com/subscribe to sign up now for your subscription. Get on the phone or tweet or Facebook or tell your friends to tune into this special show this evening on corporate bullying. I know we're going to bless many people. And now we return back to our program. Allie?
All right. Thank you, Mel D. We are back. And if you're just joining us, welcome. And you're listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And I'm your host, Allie, and I'm joined tonight by my guest co-host, Rev T, Reverend Latina Morrell. And our special guest joining us tonight is seasoned editor and journalist Jennifer Giles, sharing her story about how she was a victim of corporate or workplace bullying. If you want to join the conversation, call us at 347-324-5246 and make sure that you press the number 1 to be added into our on-air host queue. Now, we want to continue our conversation tonight, and so before the break, I wanted to make reference to any health. Did you experience, Ms. Jennifer, did you experience any health or stress-related symptoms that you would say was a direct result of your situation at work and what you were experiencing?
Yes, I did, and I'm glad that you ask about that, and I think this is really, really important.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in the kind of daily work environment, which I consider to be a hostile work environment, when you're in that kind of environment daily, mm-hmm. Over time, even though you're telling yourself, I'm okay, I'm not going to let this get to me, your body knows that
yeah.
something is wrong.
Right.
So the first clue that I had was this person joined the organization in January, and by around March or so, it started off with little shoots of pain in my arm, and it was just happened occasionally, and then it got to the point where it was constant.
Wow.
My arm was absolutely an excruciating pain, and it was a throbbing. And even at night, when I would try to go to sleep, my left arm would just throb. Sometimes I would wake up at 3 o'clock or so because the pain from my arm had awakened me, and this went on for several weeks. Later, I had these red bumps on my legs, and then they moved up to my chest. This happened over a period of months. So finally, I went to my dermatologist. I thought I was allergic to something. He was asking me if you changed your diet. Is there anything new?
Right.
So what he finally diagnosed them as being was stress-induced hives.
Really?
I have never had hives in my life.
Wow.
But I had hives. And then, of course, you know, your sleep pattern is disrupted.
Right.
My sleep pattern was disrupted. And my hands used to tremble regularly because I was just always on edge. Every time I would see her name come up on the window on my phone when it would ring, I would just, you know, just start trembling because I knew some kind of encounter was probably going to happen, or she'd have some, you know, something negative to say, or there was going to be some kind of negative interaction. And my hands weren't trembling because I was angry, and because I was afraid. I want to make that clear. My hands were trembling because I was so angry all the time. And I couldn't release that anger in the way that I wanted to. So the trembling was more about more about the anger than it was any fear, because I was never afraid of her. But I just couldn't react in a way that I wanted to.
In the workplace, right. Rev
yes.
T, you want to address something to Jennifer?
Yes, I'd like to. And before I continue to address Jennifer, we'd just like to acknowledge, too, when we were talking about this show and we started to do research, I also polled some of my colleagues and friends, and the things that you're seeing have been just, I guess, the fact of what happens when you're really bullied in the workplace, to include physical responses, feeling ill and sick. I was just really surprised of some of the comments and feedback I got with adults in this workplace concept of bullying. We oftentimes associate that with children, and there's so much going on right now with us trying to put in programs and deterrence for children bullying in school and to teach them to be more accountable and sensitive. And I think about, as adults, bullying can make us feel so alone, as it sounds like, you know, you felt isolated for a period of time because the lack of support was there. But not only are we feeling the lack of support, oftentimes what I'm hearing is it's embarrassing because you're considered an adult, a responsible adult, and you're being picked on, bullied on. You know, could that really be true in the quote-unquote corporate world, the real world, the adult world?
Right.
So you talked about some of the stress and symptoms that you feel like might have been a result of the stressful environment you were at work. Well, tell me this. Why do you feel you didn't lash out or retaliate in anger during this period? You talked about the hands trembling, and it wasn't out of anger, but the fear. But what made you not retaliate?
I did not retaliate. My retaliation was to try to dispel the kinds of things that she was saying about mm-hmm. me to me.
Okay.
But as far as retaliating, my biggest fear was loss of employment. That
yes.
was my biggest fear, was
right.
loss of employment.
Yes.
I have, like most adults, I have a mortgage. Mm-hmm. I had a relatively, I had a new car. You know, I had all those things. And then, you know, I didn't retaliate because I did not know how a retaliation might follow me after I left this particular organization.
Right.
Where might that information resurface and
right.
perhaps distort me from taking advantage of another opportunity?
Mm-hmm.
I prayed a lot. When I knew I was going to have a meeting with her and I knew that the meeting was going to be contentious, I would pray before I would go into that meeting. I had a Bible that I had at my, I had a Bible that I kept in my office. I would read, my mom would always tell me to read Psalm 91, so I would do that. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, those are some of the things that, that kept me from retaliating. And then, and, you know, and I really hope this doesn't come off as sounding like I'm making a joke, but I also thought that if I retaliated, I really did not trust myself to know what I might do. Because I was just that angry and humiliated, and it had been happening over a sustained period of time. So I had a lot of buildup.
Right, right.
Right. And that sounds like that self-control that we're going to be talking about later, especially in part two. And I hear clearly some of the reasons you didn't lash out, which kind of takes me to the reality of the fears when you were actually laid off from this position. What are the fears that you now face because the reality of the reasons you didn't retaliate have now surfaced? So as now you're moving forward and you've been laid off, and what are the fears of this situation that you're going forward in at this particular time? What's going on, or what are things that kind of, you know, keep you in that place of isolation or afraid to go forward still?
Before I was laid off, I was afraid it was going to happen. Every day I walked in that organization and I told the colleagues that I could trust to talk to about this, I told them that every day I walked in that organization, I did not know if I would have a job at the end of the day, because it was just that, the environment was just that contentious and tense. So I didn't know how long I would have a job there. And then, you know, after she had been there for about 2.5 years, I was laid off, and just like anyone else who is laid off, it happened on a day when I wasn't expecting it. I had just been given a major project by a new vice president. I had gone on vacation, a scheduled vacation. I came back on a Monday. On Tuesday afternoon, I was contacted by the new VP and told that I needed to come to his office, and I knew that the two of them were very, very close, and had been close in the weeks that he was there. I was laid off, and as he was talking to me, I stopped listening because my mind immediately went to my house, my car, my living expenses, all the things that we think about. So fear was from being able to provide for myself and for, you know, people that I want to do things for.
Right.
It was a fear that can I be reemployed if this you know, prospective employer might call and somehow speak to her. What would she say to them, to them about my professional, you know, experience that I had had under her particular supervision? So I was afraid about reemployment. The fear was that what's next? Where do I go from
here? Right.
Where do I go from here? That was a big fear too, because even though you have all these great experiences and from previous positions and well educated, I still had my position at the university, which I am thankful for. But beyond that, the big question every day when I woke up after that for the next few weeks and even few months is, what's next? Where do I go from here?
Right. Wow. And it's funny that you kind of mentioned while you were talking about, you had your Bible and you would pray. And, there was a point in time when I was experiencing some bullying of some sort, and the one thing that I always prayed, and that was that, God would make my enemies my footstool. And when I tell you I wore that prayer out, I know God was like, is that her again? Because I wore that prayer out. But you know what? I believe in the power of prayer, because the person who was, so to speak, tormenting me was gone within 6 months of me starting to pray that prayer. And, I was so ecstatic. I mean, I don't ever wish anything bad on anybody, but when I tell you I wanted to dance on top of the table when I heard that person was gone, that is exactly how I felt. So the power of prayer, that's what got me through my situations, when I was in corporate America. But, I wish we had more time. But, Jennifer, we're going to come back next week, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the healing and where you're going from here and how you are facing, life after this situation and how it's affected you, emotionally, and how you kind of can move through that. So I hope that you will be able to join us again next week. We thank you for sharing your story, and it was very courageous for you to get on air and share what you shared. And I know that you've touched somebody and blessed somebody with your story. So I want to say thank you so much. We so appreciate you being with us, and we will look forward to continuing our conversation next week. So thank you so much.
Thank you for giving me a forum to share my story, and mostly thank you for presenting this show. And I hope that someone who is listening, someone who is on the receiving end or the giving end of this type of behavior, might hear it and know that, there is help, and that you are not alone.
Exactly. Thank you again. And Rev T, as we are always wanting to make sure that we do each and every week, can you share your final thoughts and from a counseling perspective, and then just kind of relate our subject matter to Scripture tonight?
Sure, and thank you. I'd be glad to do so. As Christians, we are called to be kind to one another, to love each other, and so to speak, turn the other cheek when we're faced in adversarial situations or even bullying. As we're talking about tonight, this is all covered in the Word of God. I mean, he laid a map for us to go by, and it's clear for us to go by. So I want to just share as we wrap up this evening, but get prepared for next week, because next week we're going to be talking about the healing process and where to go from here. So understand that some of the things that we go through, specifically in bullying in the workplace, it's for your good. And it's for God's glory. When we think about what that really means, is God allows us to go through certain situations. But in the end of the day, not only will we be oftentimes blessed for it, but God will get the ultimate glory.
Yes.
So it takes me to Matthew 5 in verse 43 and through 48, and it kind of says there, you have heard that it is said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the things Gentiles do the same? That scripture speaks to us.
If we're coming
together and loving the people who love us, what exemplary model are we showing of God's love? Because God's love requires that we love our enemies.
Mm-hmm.
It requires that we are good to our friends and to know and trust that at the end of the day, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He is going to repay all persons who have mistreated, persecuted his children.
Yes.
You know, for his name's sake, he's going to take care of that. So when we're experiencing the bullying experiences or our circumstances where we're being put down, talked about, talked against, then we're called to a high calling. Well, we're called to trust God and walk this thing out by faith and know that God will get the glory and will get the blessing. And finally, know that our testimonies and our experiences, they really don't belong to us. They're oftentimes for other people who we might not even realize are going to hear us, will be blessed by what we say, will be blessed by the testimony, but to trust God in all things, and all things acknowledge him. But as I say this last sentence, I'll say my theme is we're walking this thing out by faith. Bullying is no different.
Right.
We're not going to tolerate the bullying in the workplace, but we're going to handle ourselves according to the word of God.
Amen. Thank you for that. And I wanted to share also, as I mentioned earlier, there was one particular scripture that I connected to is that Psalm 110, verses 1 through 2, that talked about have a throne attitude. And pretty much what it says is that the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. So rule in the midst of your enemies. So, you know, that just piggybacks on what you just said, Rev. T. You know, I believe that Jennifer's silence was God's glory, and he was happy in her silence, if that makes sense. Because she could have responded in a hostile way back to her former boss. And I believe he was sitting from up on high saying, well done, good and faithful servant. And, you know, that was her test so that she has this testimony. And although I'm sure that she would have not rather experienced that, it was all for a purpose because now there's some great things coming her way. And I believe that because she has a lot to offer. And so, you know, I say all that to say, God is our ultimate vindicator. I mean, at the end of the day, what better lawyer to have than God? I don't know anybody else that I'd rather have than God.
I know, that's right.
I want to encourage our listeners that to go to our Atlanta Life Radio website. We'll have some resources out there for you to connect to and get some further information. There's, you know, all kind of things going on throughout the country where they're trying to get some things put in place. And so you do your research, do your due diligence to see what the bill that they're trying to pass is called, the Healthy Workplace Bill. But do your research and make sure it's something that you want to get behind and check, you know, and see what's going on in your state. If there's something you want to support, then by all means, you know, I'm sure that they'll be happy to have you on board. But do your research first, and, you know, we got to try to support those people in our lives who we may know might be going through this. You know, you may have family, friends, and loved ones who are suffering in silence, and, you know, they not only feel isolated on the job, don't make them feel isolated at home. So reach out to your friends and neighbors and find out what's going on. So I thank both of you all for joining me once again, and I look forward to next week when we can actually focus on the healing from the trauma that's caused by workplace or corporate bullying. And so as we close out yet another powerful show, on behalf of There's Life After Layoff Radio, we sincerely say thank you to each and every one of you for joining us on this journey. And we do not take it for granted that you have chosen to spend this time with us each and every week. And I pray that you will continue to tune in. So until next week, on behalf of Doc Mel D, Jennifer, and Rev T, we say thank you for joining us, and we continue to urge you to be encouraged. And yes, although it may be hard to walk away from something, especially when you don't know what you're walking towards, just know that when God is in it, all things are possible and new. Continue to join us on this journey and take a leap of faith past the fear in your life. Know that the bigger the obstacle, the bigger the blessing. But most of all, remember, there is life after layoff. Thank you and good night.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of life and how God always brings you through. No need for complaining, just look at this, it's just training to be ready, what God has for you. Tell yourself, no, in you, Lord, I have my faith in. Even when it seems, that's when you look, that's when your breakthrough will begin. Freedom I have ever known has come from you alone.